I've just started a broadcast. I'm going to start all over again.
Oh, Lord, John,
and I'm now the robbery.
The following is an emergency alert. A category DS-106 storm is approaching your area. This warning is in effect until further notice. Expect heavy blogging, storytelling, and scattered social media. Please stand by for updates.
DS-106 Good Spell. Turn your radio on.
Well, I finally managed to turn our radio on. Thank you, Rochelle, for that bumper. This is the DS-106 Good Spell. Mantras and Cones is a delve into the open online course, Digital Storytelling 106.
Again. Well, does it start now?
Okay. Yes, and we're starting again, but we're, I'm going to patch all this together.
Let's have fun. Let's just pretend. Dear million listeners, pretend that we've just introduced everything again.
Yeah. Hi, Rochelle. Hopefully the mad echoing started. This comes from a series of Nicecast mishaps, which I might as well spell out, so I hopefully don't do it again. I had the audio device set to Skype, and then I had another application effect added on, which was pulling in Skype. So we were broadcasting everything twice with a wee delay, just to give that nice echoey effect that Rochelle claims was made us sound as if we were in a cave. We are now started finally, and
we've come out of the cave for everybody. Yeah.
And it says, you say doing DSS 106 is like becoming an actor. Amazing when the crowd claps and ruthless when nobody notices your performance. Now, that last bit of performance, I would quite happily not be noticed. But obviously one of the powerful things about DS 106 is that it does open up your learning to an audience. It's a major factor. But there's this ruthlessness as well. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Marianne?
Well, when I wrote what I could remember when I wrote this, and I was reviewing and trying to prepare for tonight, it really was the kind of contrast, if you will, between, you know, what happens when we have an idea, we do something, and it just happens to be that there are people who either are listening to the radio or who somehow pick up on a blog post that you've written or on an animated GIF mm-hmm. that you've made. Like, I remember once that, you know, you were all excited because some, I think, you know, the Tumblr people had picked up on one of your animated GIFs, and it went, you know, like the whole world was seeing it. So there's something wonderful about that, because, you know, it makes us kind of feel like somehow, you know, our work, what we're doing, what we're learning, doesn't kind of, you know, is not there in a vacuum, but that, you know, there are other people that are listening or that are noticing what we do. But there's a flip side to that, of course, because there is so much that certainly if we keep it to the DS-106 that we produce in DS-106 that almost, you know, without wanting, I know that this is, you've said this before and I've said it before, you want to keep up with what everybody's doing, you want to give people the time to be able to say, let me just offer some feedback, let me offer, at least let me say I've seen it, and stuff does fall through the net because, you know, you don't notice it. And so there is that kind of both sides. It's great when somebody does, and we need to work with and find, I don't know whether it is a digital literacy, but you know, find a way to work with the nobody noticing and all the emotion that brings with it, and the disappointment, and sometimes the pissed offness and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the kind of essence of it. And as we've been you know, as I was planning for and just reviewing some of the things for today, you know, there's quite a lot actually that in DS-106 we tell people, we talk to people about, you know, talking to this tension. So it's not just about, you know, the making of the artifact, but that actually I certainly remember Alan and other people helping me navigate the my expectations of, you know, because it is not the same as being in a classroom with people where there are, you know, expectations that, you know, quotes, teacher will read what you do and mark it. Yeah, and I think we carry that somehow onto the online world until we learn to navigate it differently.
Yeah, and it's strangely something that when I'm talking about, you know, pupils blogging in school, I always say that it's a great advantage of publishing to this idea of a worldwide wall display. Because in a primary school, typically, you know, a child does a good piece of work and the teacher marks it and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might go, oh, that's great, and hold it up or put it on the wall and show the rest of the class. Very occasionally they might, you know, it might get raised with the whole school at an assembly or meeting of the whole school, or it might go on a poster or a place and centrally in school. But one of the advantages of blogging and putting things on the internet is you've got this huge audience, a potential audience, but you've also got the potential that they're not as excited and interested about whatever you're doing as you are at that point.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, there is, as you say, that tension. And I'm just looking down some notes here that you put up, and it's like, it's a quote from Jonathan Worth, saying that, you know, he's talking about students making a transition between edu-customer to supplier, which sounds great, but he said that no one is contractually obliged to engage with their work. And that, I suppose, is the danger. And I guess what's nice about having a community online is that people maybe aren't contractually, but they've made a handshake on it. It might not last forever. That you agree to pay attention to each other, and these communities bubble up, I suppose, and go away.
I remember one of the things, you know, the kind of, so there was a lot of positive in terms of, you know, my first proper DS-106 experience. But I remember that the kind of, where this quote from Jonathan came from was one of my posts where I did a radio thing. And it was like my first proper radio podcast that I'd done, and it was a recorded one. And you may remember this because I think you helped me out. It was a recorded one that we said we were going to do a half recorded thing and a half live thing. And the idea was that Jonathan and Photo 8, whose name actually it's funny, you remember people by their Twitter handle. Anyway, one of the other phoner people were going to come and be our live guests, and they couldn't do it last minute. And I remember how disappointed I was. And, you know, and I think that's where it sort of, you know, I wrote a long post and a long reflection around, you know, that flip side, you know, because up until that point, everything had always been a sort of the other side of it, and you know, lovely that somebody's seen it, or I haven't minded if they hadn't. But I think with this particular podcast, it was something that I put a lot of work and effort. It's like you say, you may think it's the most exciting thing that you ever produced and the best thing ever, and on the day nothing happens. And that is the thing that is sometimes difficult to navigate. And what Jonathan, the comment that you just read out, is it was Jonathan kind of trying to say, I know how frustrated it can be, but the reality is that people are not, you know, contractually obligated to anything, and we need to find ways of navigating through the difficulty, through the vulnerability of it, but that still keeps us there learning, because we value the other side.
Yeah, and it sometimes just seems hard. And I know on my sort of educational blog, sometimes I write posts that I think are just, oh, this is really important, and they're completely ignored, and then you throw something else away and think, oh, that just filled a wee hole there, and people are interested. either by, you know, commenting or by just the number of visits. It's hard to say that, but I think the interesting thing is making a community that's small enough, mm-hmm. or grouping inside that community maybe that's small enough that you maybe don't know people like, but you've got a relationship to them. Mm-hmm. I think if there's, and I'm guessing that if you're in a MOOC, that it only really works if you manage to get a small subset of people in a group that you're in, because you can't read the outpourings of thousands of people. And doing DS106 full time, it's really difficult, I think, to keep up with the whole flow, you know.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there is something about the design of DS106 as a whole. You know, one of the things that I thought was relevant to, you know, to this particular thing was the Inspire website, which is where we can, you know, submit stuff that has in some way inspired us from other DS106 people, and I had been, I must say, I haven't been the best person at submitting things. I did it when I was doing it, quotes, properly. I submitted a few things, but it's not something that I use or visit that regularly. But I love the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Wire 106 people have been using it as a kind of assignment. They kind of have to submit, I think, three things to the Inspire website that have, you know, that their classmates have done that have inspired them. And because of that, I've been, you know, visiting it. I went to it whenever it was the other day, and I found something that I had done that somebody had submitted. Yeah. Oh, you know, it is that thing, isn't it? You just go, oh, isn't it lovely?
Yeah. No, that, and that's maybe something that was a wee while ago, or, you know, if you've done it a while ago and it comes back, it's nice. Yeah.
Well, actually, this was something that I sort of throwaway thing that I did as a joke for Jim and some of the other Wire 106 people, because I just noticed an exchange on Twitter, and I just created one of this kind of remixes thing. The detail is not important, but you know, to your point of sometimes you throw something together that you think actually meh. You know, not, you don't think much of it, and then somebody goes, "Oh, that's lovely," and then the other way around, which is, you know, sometimes you might invest a huge amount of time on something, and the world goes, "Meh."
Yeah.
Well, or our little part of the world, I suppose. But the other element which you're raising there about having a group of people and knowing a group of people, I think that as you develop your ability or your skills to work online, you also have a greater, you develop resilience, don't you?
Mm.
So if there is something that you really are interested in and that you want, you know, we do have people that we can ask. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I have, you know, in the past written something and go, I would really value your opinion. Have a look for me.
Mm.
And then it becomes more of a conversation than a throwing stuff out at, you know, the world and with no real focus. And I think that that's when it starts to work for learning more, which is something that I think we have in DS106, certainly.
And you'll have a wee group of people. And I think that, I'm not going to go on about it, but I think there's that sort of speaks to what we'll be talking about next time a wee bit, and how you do that, and I think you're right that you need to know the person that you're asking, if you're asking directly. You know, that we're going on hopefully tonight to talk about the Art on the Couch project you've just cut off, and I know the other day that you tweeted that out, and added myself and Alan, I think, and it's just a fantastic thing. And you know, when you see something like that, you just you're delighted somebody points you at it, and this really speaks to more. I mean, I think you really need to maybe spell that out a wee bit for folk and explain it a wee bit, because this is a sort of one woman mission to bring more good stuff and more good community feeling and think about how you do respond to people.
I suppose it's interesting that, you know, in reviewing things you've done in the past, you begin to see where the seeds for some of the things that you are interested in today come from. Because in reviewing the ideas for our episode today, I suspect that some of those early experiences where I worked really, really hard and nobody noticed, they must have affected me much more than maybe I consciously gave it credit, because we have a great capacity, human beings, to rationalize away and to go, well, it's okay, it doesn't really matter because I did it for my own learning. Well, oh, I was about to swear on the radio, I couldn't do that. The reality, I think, is that often, you know, we are disappointed, we are hurt, and we have to be vulnerable in a way. And I think it must have affected me more than, as I say, I consciously realized. Because if we take it back to the idea of the DS-106 art on the couch, that has what that really is me realizing I am not spending as much time really doing justice to the stuff that people are producing. And maybe, I was having this conversation with Alan Levine the other day, you know, and maybe there is a way in which critiquing art and taking the time to look at the art that people make, it's another side of making art, damn it, isn't it? Because you learn from it, and you can, if you really take the time. And that's the sort of where it started, really. I got the idea of doing that. Then Michael Branson Smith, he said, you know, he was really keen that his students didn't, you know, that they learned to choose things and repost things, and he didn't mind if they just reposted stuff on Tumblr, say, because in the doing of that, you have to make an active choice that you like this, but you don't like that. And so it teaches you something about, you know, what are the things that, you know, you like, what kind of style, what, you know, what's the sort of thing that, and it teaches you how to hopefully improve your own art. So that then, and then came into it, and then I noticed that the art assignment had an episode on doing art critique. Now, I'm no artist, and I've not been to art school, so I didn't know very much about this, but it looks like the whole idea of art critique is something that is done in every art school in the country every day, and in the world probably, every day of the week. And there is a huge amount of stuff to learn about how to do art critique properly. You know, so resources and so on. So that's where I started. I thought, well, why don't I learn how to do this? It will help me because maybe I'll improve on what I do, but also it will be a reason for me to kind of go through things that other DS-106 people have done, pick them out beyond just going awesome. Because that's the thing, you know, we go, oh, wow, love it. Oh, it's awesome. Oh, it's great. In the art assignment program, she uses Sarah uses the word interesting. She says we say everything is interesting just because we don't have the time to invest on really doing a proper art critique of what we see. So all of this, I kind of thought, you know, well, actually, I think they have a point, and I think it would be nice to try out something that would maybe give us a framework. Kind of like the Inspire thing, but I guess I'm doing it at a lower level because I'm thinking not necessarily stuff that inspire me, because actually even the opposite of that, anything that pops, I'm using the random daily create, and I'm using the random assignments, so that anything that pops up with my little system, I have to critique. And I think that's interesting, though, yeah. Because it kind of, you know, stuff pops up and you go, no, I'll find something else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that every so often I get a crisis of conscience and I'll hit the flow in DS106 and just go through 5 or 10 posts and attempt to comment or say something. And sometimes I'm just at a loss, either because all I can say is, oh, that's great. I try to always avoid the awesome word. I'm British. quite good. But you know what I mean? It's maybe quite difficult. And I think what you've put together in this post, which will stick in the show notes, is a series of sort of instructions, and you've got this form where you can, you know, there's things you've got to do the critique. And obviously that expands the amount of time you're going to have to take on it, but it probably makes it a lot more worthwhile and lets you focus and probably gives you things that, you know, you would miss or you wouldn't think about or whatever. Yeah, just having that structure.
I put everything under the one hashtag on my blog, so then you know hopefully what will happen if anybody's interested, they can just use the hashtag and the critiques that I have done will also pop up, so you can see examples. And the thing I've done now 2 since I posted, and the thing that pops up for me is firstly you've got this in the questions, they don't belong to me, they belong to some very important art professor somewhere. I can't even remember his name. It's stuff I found on the internet. But they, you know, they really are detailed questions. There's about 12 of them, and they really take you through this process where you have no choice but to spend time with the piece of art, whatever it is. And I think in a way that is the thing that that is helpful. That, you know, it helps you look and look again and look at and guide you. Your sense of, you know, what is it? So what are you going to say? If you're not going to say, because they tell you that part of it is not to say whether you like it or not, but actually what it is that you are noticing, and you know, in terms of, and when you go then beyond the I like it, I don't like it, the thing that is really interesting to me is that it's a way through art to teach me and maybe teach other people how to interact online in ways that help us all learn, because and interestingly, the woman on the art assignment also talked about how, you know, sometimes the way that we interact is always like, don't like, and if I don't like, I reject, rather than learning how to have the kind of dialogue that says, let's just notice what we notice, and work with, you know, empathic dialogue really when we're talking about art and things, and learn how to do this in a mediated environment isn't so easy. So she talks about, you know, it's a lot easier when you are in a room, in a classroom, in an art school, and you're basically having to eyeball the people. Well, you're going to have to make more of an effort than just say it's awesome, because you've got them in front of you. And so she's saying, actually, maybe we need to find ways in which we do this online as well, if we want our communities to grow and to, you know, to be as valuable to us as a face-to-face thing might be. And in the light of everything that's been going on with trolls and people being unkind and death threats, there is a kind of, I suppose, another threat to it for me, which is maybe this is a small, tiny thing to do that might offer people a way to learn how to talk to, how we can talk to each other to help us learn rather than take sides.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really great. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes, and it seems like a huge effort, even just to write the posts that you've written so far.
Well, I'm hoping I'll get some help soon.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think it might be, because you see, if there is enough people, you know, even if it's just a few people that start to submit things or just fill in a form just so that, you know, so then you know, that you'll get different views as well, which would make it interesting. The way I've done it is I've set up a Google form And I've never used Google Forms before, but they gather up, I set it up so that it will gather up all the results, all the responses. Mm-hmm. So if everybody fills one up, then at some point we'll actually gather up lots of different answers from lots of different bits of the, you know, art that the DS106 community makes. And I think that there's some interesting research project in that if we gather it all up and then do something with it.
Okay. I guess that's a mumbled commitment here.
there you go.
To do a wee bit.
An organic commitment.
Yeah.
As we go.
I'm actually really disappointed in the amount I've been looking at DS106 for the last wee while and doing daily creates and things. And partly it's because I'm incredibly busy, and the other part is that I'm commuting quite a lot now on the train, and I expected to be able to do that when I'm sitting on the train, but the British Rail Wi-Fi blocks Flickr.
Really?
Yeah, it cuts down to no connection at all in the middle of Scotland, and I'm crossing Scotland every day, so it blocks Flickr for bandwidth reasons, I think, rather than it does that.
I can see that we're getting close to our end time, but I thought it would be nice if I can, because one of the things that I found was Alan talking about this whole issue of how do we cope with feeling, you know, vulnerable mm-hmm. and abandoned online. And I thought it might be nice to just maybe read out this quote. It's from some comment that he made on a blog post. Because I think it gives people a sense of we all feel this way, but also just gives some guidelines or you know, ways of thinking to help. Shall we do that before we close?
That sounds great, yeah.
So he says, I know exactly the empty pit feeling you describe, and it has been the course of my career, littered with dormant discussion forums, ghost town wikis, unedited open docs. And I will try to say, to let go of the disappointment, and in doing so will be a hypocrite, knowing what it does to my motivation to do a hangout where no one shows up, or a live DS106 radio show where no one listens. But I don't accept a lack of response as an invalidation of the effort. Quite often people come to an understanding or appreciation on a different time scale than the one that you're moving. A lot of people look at stuff, but maybe don't respond or participate. And often you have the impact that you hoped for, but you never see it. And I think that's just so lovely.
Yeah, let's hope so, I think. Let's hope so. I think that's a great place to finish. So I'm just going to bumper us out for the next 30 seconds and then hang up a mic. Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for Rochelle for the tweets, and of course the bumper that kicked us off today. Man Prison Poems for the DS 106 Good Spell.